Hello and good morning.
Good morning.
It's such a joy and a blessing for me to be here this morning to be able to share the word of God. And I would like to thank Pastor Dan and the elders for the opportunity that has been given me and that honor to be able to share the word of God this morning. My prayer this morning is that this is the day that the Lord has made, and that together we may rejoice and be glad in it. Can I hear somebody say amen?
Amen.
A popular Christian blog once asked readers to respond to a personal but profound question. How would you like to be remembered after you die? A middle-aged man said, I would like to be remembered as someone who left a positive and lasting legacy, and someone who left an inheritance to my children's children, and last but not least, as someone who made a big difference in this world, who accomplished his dreams, pleased God, and did what God created me to do on this earth. A loving father, a loving husband, and a good friend. A 25-year-old mother said, I want to be remembered as a compassionate, loving mother, as a devoted wife, and as an independent, strong-willed woman who has overcome every mistake in her life. And then last but not least, a grandfather said, I would like to be remembered as someone who has fought the good fight, has finished the race, and has kept the faith to be a good and faithful servant of the Lord. Now, I would like to ask the same question to you. How do you hope to be remembered when you die? When people mention your name long after you die, what reputation or legacy will flood their minds? Before you say, I don't really care whether people remember me or not, let's take some time to consider the value of a good name, the power of a good legacy. It's something the Bible says has value and worth the effort. So if you have your gadgets, you have your iPhone and iPads and laptops, you can please go to the Bible app and find Proverbs 22 verse 1. Or if you have your Bible with you, you can flip to Proverbs 22 verse 1, or just follow as we put them on the PowerPoint. Proverbs 22 verse 1 has this to say, and I'm reading from the New International Version. A good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. The New Living Translation says, choose a good reputation over great riches. Being held in esteem is better than silver or gold. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 verse 1 puts it this way. A good name is better than fine perfume, and the day of death better than the day of birth. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I humbly stand before your people to share the word of God. I do pray for your divine enablement, Lord, to articulate the oracles of your word. May you open our hearts to comprehend and understand the word of God today. I do pray, Holy Spirit, that you will make our hearts to be receptive and our minds alert to the voice and the nudging of the Spirit beyond my mortal human voice. We do vow to give you the praise and the glory, and may your presence fill this place. We acknowledge you because we pray and ask in Jesus' name. And somebody said, Amen. I'm going to share with you today on living an intentional legacy. Living an intentional legacy in a message that I've entitled The Legacy of a Good Name. The legacy of a good name. That implies it's also a legacy of a bad name. But today I'm going to concentrate on the legacy of a good name. Earlier in my introduction, I asked you a personal question. How do you hope to be remembered after you die? I believe that there are a lot of reasons why we should all care about having a good name and living an intentional legacy. But I will just mention a few. The first reason we should care about a good name and legacy is that a good name has enormous value and will live on after you die. An anonymous Japanese proverb says, and I quote, "Life is for one generation, while a good name is forever." End of quote. Our text this morning says that we need to choose a good name over riches, fine perfume, fame, because it has more value than money. A good name lives on because it gives you power and credibility to be able to do what God has called you to do. So when you have a good name, you have something of value that you should treasure. In fact, a good name is the best gift you can ever receive from your parents as an inheritance. Let me say it another way. A good name is the best gift you can give to your children as their inheritance. Now, the second reason why we should care about having a good name is that a good name gives you favor with God and with people. Ruth in the Old Testament had been a woman of good character. She went through a horrible loss and chose the road less traveled. She showed resilience in the face of suffering and followed the God of Naomi, her mother-in-law, back to Israel. You and I know that when someone shows outstanding character in tough times, word gets around. So Ruth got a good name in the neighborhood for her character and reputation. She set her sights on a good man named Boaz, the kinsman redeemer. And when she went on one knee to propose marriage to Boaz, she was in good hands. Ruth chapter 3 verse 11 says, "Now don't worry about a thing, my daughter. I will do what is necessary, for everyone in town knows that you are a woman of good reputation. You are a virtuous woman. You are honorable in character." Everyone in the neighborhood knew about Ruth because of her reputation. I can only imagine how Ruth, after being accepted by Boaz the kinsman redeemer, went to her Facebook page and changed her profile to engaged. And she said, he said yes. Went back to her room and did a happy dance in the mirror. Why? Because of this proposal. But it was all because of her reputation She found favor in the eyes of God. The third reason we should all care about having a good name is that a good name helps you to be trusted with leadership and responsibility. In Exodus 18, men with a good reputation were selected to help Moses to lead Israel. In Nehemiah chapter 7, Nehemiah tells how he put Hananiah in charge in Jerusalem because he was a man of integrity and feared God more than most people. In Acts chapter 6, seven men are chosen to provide special servant leadership in the church, and they are men of good reputation and integrity. Among them, Stephen and Philip. Now, here's my question for you. Is your name synonymous with good character, honesty, compassion, or does it remind people of your lack of integrity and of your selfish pursuits? When someone mentions your name, what do people think about that name? When some names are mentioned, they bring about feelings of joy, feelings of hope, comfort. But when some other names are mentioned, they bring sadness and make people sick to the stomach, like ISIS. But the most powerful name that I know is the name of Jesus. This is the sweetest name that I know, because at the mention of this name, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. There is no any other name given on earth where man should be saved except for the name of Jesus. Whosoever shall call upon the name of Jesus shall be saved. Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Men and brethren, what shall I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved, you and your household. Now, how do people think of you about when your name is mentioned? Do they think godliness? Do they think compassion? Do they think generosity, integrity, or faithfulness? How do they speak of you to others? Do people praise you in your absence? Do others crave your company? Does your name invite admiration? Or is it a source of contempt and disrespect and scorn? When people hear your name, do they think harshness, selfishness, stubbornness, pride, or moodiness? Do they avoid you? When others talk about you, do they have to make excuses for your conduct as a Christian? Beloveds, a good name will leave a very positive impact and legacy and heritage for others to emulate. As Benjamin Disraeli once said, and I quote, the legacy of heroes is the memory of a great name and the inheritance of a great example. Charles Spurgeon once said, and I quote, a good character is the best tombstone. Those who loved you and were helped by you will remember you when forget-me-nots have withered. A legacy is etched into the minds of others and the stories they share about you. Carve your name on hearts, not marble. In Old Testament times, a name stood for a person's reputation, fame, legacy, and glory. A name was seen as a description of the individual's personality, attributes, and character. Parents often give their children names that describe their hopes for the future. A name may even have been a prayer that the person bearing this particular name shall live up to the potential expressed in that name. Here's a good example. Genesis 5 verse 29, the Bible says, Noah was given his name by Lamech, his father, with the prayer, "This one will bring us rest from our work and the toil of our hands." The intent was that Noah would lighten the burden of that family. This gives me an opportunity to share how we name our kids. The first one is Malachi. And Malachi is an Old Testament name for one of the minor prophets, which simply means the messenger of God. His middle name is Katande, which means go and plant. You are a planter of the word of God. And our prayer and hope is that Malachi will live up to his name and will be a servant of the Lord. And we had Eliana and her middle name means thank you, Jesus, and it's called Natasha in my language. It can also mean something else, but we're just trying to thank God for what He has done for our lives in blessing us with a wonderful family by saying thank you, Jesus. Natasha, which is Bema, my language, where I come from in Zambia. And Micah is also a very powerful name that has a very powerful meaning behind. It's one of the minor prophets. But his middle name is also coming from my language tribe in Zambia. And what's his middle name again? Luhuto. Thank God for wives. Yeah, Luhuto means light, which is actually powerful because it stands for righteousness in the Word of God. And our prayer is that God has been our righteousness and He has been a light as we walk through and navigate through the clutter of life in this world that is full of challenges. So all those names mean something to us as parents. And our prayer is that our kids will live up to that name. And we'll try to bring them up in the fear of the Lord. Now, before we proceed, allow me to answer the question, what is legacy? You may be asking right now. I'm so glad you asked. A legacy is what you leave with people you are close to after you are gone. It's what lives on after you die. It's the impact you make in this life while you were here on earth. Every man or woman will leave a legacy. The question is not about whether you will leave a legacy or not, because you will leave a legacy. The question is, what kind of legacy are you going to leave after you die? Is it a godly Christian legacy of following the Lord? Is it a legacy of rebellion against God? What kind of legacy are you going to leave in your community when you leave your workplace? What kind of legacy are you going to leave there in your neighborhoods? How do they know you? Do they know you as a man after God's own heart? What kind of legacy are you going to leave after you die? Before giving a eulogy of his late grandmother, Craig reached out to his cousins and asked a simple and straightforward question. What are the three words that you can use to describe grammar. He says their responses were simple, began to paint a detailed portrait of the woman they all knew and loved. He summarized their responses in one sentence and he said, grandma was considerate, loving, selfless, nurturing, thoughtful, generous, and compassionate. That is the legacy that she left behind as a heritage to her family. And that's how she will be remembered. She set a godly example for her children and grandchildren to follow. I wonder whether that can be said of you and me after we die. Now, here's another question you may be asking. How can we establish a good name or a good reputation and pass on a godly legacy to our children and future generations? How could we do that? I'm glad you ask. One more time. The first point is that we need to walk in integrity. We need to walk in integrity. Ephesians 4 verse 1 says, live a life worthy of the calling you have received. We have been called from darkness to light. Ephesians 5 verse 8 says, for you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live or walk as children of light. You see, you only get one life to live, to be the kind of person that you want to be or become. The kind of person you want to be known for long after you die. And the choices you make determine what kind of legacy you will leave behind after you die. You decide whether you will be a person who is strong in character, a person of integrity that people can depend on, or if you will be a kind of person who can be trusted, whose character leaves much to be desired. If you want to leave behind a godly legacy, then be honest in your dealings with others and be faithful to your God and your calling. Be reliable and be dependable as a Christian. It's becoming very hard nowadays to find somebody who is reliable and dependable, even in the church. Because people just lie just like that. And they don't even care about the repercussions of what they're doing. But God is looking for people who will go countercultural and be reliable and dependable and be who they profess to be. It has been said that it takes a decade to build a reputation, but only a moment to destroy it. Integrity, beloveds, is essential to building a godly legacy. Due to poor planning, a man in Texas called Dennis needed a same-day dry cleaning service before he left on a trip. He remembered one store with a huge sign, 1 hour dry cleaners, on the other side of town. So he drove out of his way to drop off his suit. He filled out the claim tag and told the clerk, now I need this suit in 1 hour. She told him, sorry sir, I can't get this back to you until Thursday. I thought you did dry cleaning in 1 hour. The man protested. No, sir, the clerk said. That is just the name of the store. You see, beloveds, those of us who carry the name Christian but fail to act like the one whose name we bear create confusion and disillusionment for those who are yet to believe. Beloveds, we are not Christians in name only. We are not just followers in name. We are not nominal Christians. We need to live a life that is worthy of the calling that we have received from God. Remember, you were once darkness, but now you are light. Act like it. Let the fruit of the Spirit come out of you. Strive by all means to follow the Lord, to obey the Lord, to live by the statutes of the Word of God, and be a good example in the community. When people look at you, they should see Jesus. Because some people, that's the only Jesus they'll ever see. You. A transformed life, which was at the beginning, but now is today in Christ Jesus. Moving on to my second and last point. If you want to leave a godly legacy, you need to pass on your faith. It's one thing to leave your faith, to be faithful to the Lord, and to save the Lord, and to make a difference in your community. But it's another to be intentional in passing on your faith to the next generation. Billy Graham, mighty man of God, once said, "The greatest legacy one can pass on to one's children and grandchildren is not money or material things accumulated in one's life, but rather a legacy of character and of faith." Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5 to 9 has this to say: "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts." This is God now speaking to Israel and to us. "Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hand and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." Intentionality. You need to be intentional in sharing your faith with your children and younger generations. Paul wrote to Timothy, "I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice." Thank God for grandmothers that pray and teach the Word of God to their grandchildren. And thank God for mothers who pass on the Word of God, their faith, to their children. So we have a responsibility as parents to be able to share the Word of God with our family, with our children. And Paul continues to say, "And I know that same faith continues strong in you." And that is in 2 Timothy 1 verse 5. And later on, Paul said in 2 Timothy 2 verse 1 to 2, "Timothy, my dear son, be strong with the special favor God gives you in Christ Jesus. You have heard me teach many things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses." Here's what you need to do: teach them to trustworthy people who are able to pass them on to others. You see, this calling of passing on something is so vivid, and we are all called to do that. It may not only be to your children, but even to other people. You could pass on what you have to others, and that's our calling. You could share the Word of God with other people who don't know about Christ, or you could encourage others who are about to give up in their faith in God because of the challenges of this world and the powers of darkness that push back on our faith. You could do that. But all you need to know is that with God, nothing is impossible. Because God is on your side and you are not by yourself when you do this. God will guide you by the Holy Spirit to pass on your faith. And be open to those kind of opportunities. Because God will provide an opportunity to you to be able to encourage someone or to share word of encouragement to someone at a time when they need that encouragement. Here's my closing illustration for those of you that are looking at your watches. A husband and wife who walked by faith and consequently left a legacy far beyond anything they could ever imagine, lived in the early 1700s in colonial America. Their names were Jonathan and Sarah Edwards. Jonathan felt God's call to become a minister. He and his young bride began to pastor in a small congregation. During the years that followed, he wrote many sermons, prayers, and books, and was influential in beginning the Great Awakening. Together they raised 11 children who grew into adulthood. Sarah was a partner in her husband's ministry, and he sought her advice regarding sermons and church matters. That's unique because not many pastors seek help from their wives. But anyway, thank God for Jonathan Edwards. He saw his wife as a partner in ministry. Now, together they spent time talking about the Word of God, the sermons, and they all shared together as a family. And they intentionally included their children into their discussions. The effects of the Edwards' lives have been far-reaching, but the most measurable result of their faithfulness to God's call is found through their descendants. Winship completed a study in the 1900s in which he lists a few of the accomplishments of the 1,400 Edwards descendants. Among them were 100 lawyers and a dean of law school, 80 holders of public office, 66 physicians, and a dean of medical school, 65 professors of colleges and universities, 30 judges, 13 college presidents, 3 mayors of large cities, 3 governors of states, 3 United States senators, 1 controller of the United States Treasury, 1 vice president of the United States of America, and 100 missionaries. These were the descendants of the Edwards. You see, Jonathan and his wife's story is a very powerful example of leaving an intentional legacy. Because this is about intentionality, it's not a coincidence. You will need to be intentional about passing on your faith. Now, as I land the plane, for those of you who did not grow up in a Christian family, a legacy of faith was established when you gave your life to Jesus. Or if you give your life to Jesus today, a legacy of faith will begin. Perhaps you had struggles or brokenness in your past. God can start a new legacy when you commit your life to Him today. If you were once full of fury and rage, He can create a new legacy in your life. and change the course of your family to that of compassion and of mercy. He can replace addiction and alcoholism with health and freedom. He can restore a struggling marriage into a strong union. He can restore a broken family into a powerful family. God took Saul, a Pharisee and persecutor of the church, and began a new legacy in him. He even went on to write half, or should I say almost half, of the New Testament. God changed Moses from a murderer to a deliverer who brought freedom to Israel. God changed David from an adulterer and murderer and gave him a new legacy of a man after God's own heart. God can start a new legacy in your life and in your family today if you will let him. Will you? Will you let God give you a new beginning today? A new start? A fresh opportunity for you to follow him? It's up to you. Choose whom you will serve today. As for me and my household, we will save the Lord. He says, I lay before you life and death. But here's the clue. Here's the kicker. Choose life. Here's life and death. But here's my advice for you. Choose life. And you can choose life today. Because God respects your choice. Amen. Let us pray. While every eye is closed and while we are reflecting on this message about living an intentional legacy and being the kind of people we want to be as Christians and followers of Christ, I want to ask you a few questions, personal questions for you. What kind of legacy will you leave when you die? Or what kind of legacy would you like to leave when you die? Will it be lasting? Will it be imperishable and eternal? Or will you just leave behind only tangible items like buildings, money, and possessions? Let's seek to live beyond ourselves. To live a life of integrity as we fasten our faith, setting a good example for future generations, which brings glory to our God. And as you respond to that question about legacy, I want you to take some time, in your own words, to talk to God. Just respond. You're not talking to me or your pastor. You're talking to God. And you're saying, Lord, help me to be the kind of person that you've called me to be. For you've called me from darkness to light. You've called me to do wonderful things for you, Lord. Help me to live faithfully, to work faithfully. And also to leave a legacy that is lasting. As a man after God's own heart, who stood up for God, who lived for God, and did not compromise or backslide. Help me to leave a legacy that is lasting for my family, and not only for my family, but also for my community, my neighborhood, and even my generation. So I'll give you a moment to talk to God. God, our eternal Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the preaching of the Word of God. We do pray that, Lord, this Word shall not return unto the void, but it will accomplish the mission for which it was sent. We ask that, Lord, we may be changed from glory to glory and from one dimension of grace to the other. Help us, Lord God Almighty, to be a people that will make a difference in this world. People that will live for you and nobody else. And leave a legacy that is lasting, that will live beyond our name. A legacy of faith and of following Christ. A legacy that will affect generations upon generations, O Lord. Our prayer today is that you may heal the broken families. You may heal broken marriages. You may touch families, O Lord, that are going through challenges right now. That is impossible. It's difficult for them to leave a legacy of faith and to leave the kind of legacy you want them to leave. Lord, I commit them before you today. May you reach out with your divine hand, heal families, touch families, and I pray for reconciliation for those that are divided. I pray for unity. I pray for oneness. I pray for forgiveness. I just pray, Lord God, that you will enable each and every individual that is committing to start afresh today to get a chance for a new beginning in their lives. I pray that, Lord, they will make choices that honor you, that they will do things that bring glory to you, O God, and they will be available to be able to advance the kingdom of God in places that are so evil. I pray there will be light and there will be salt in this world, O God, and that they will change their environment using their influence, O God. I do pray, Heavenly Father, that their spheres of influence will be affected by their faithfulness to the Lord. God, we thank you for the boldness that we are receiving, O God, as a result of hearing the word of God today, to be able to go in the marketplace, to go in dark places, and stand up for God, and be the kind of people that you have called us to be. For we are not of this world, Lord. And help us, Lord God Almighty, to live like pilgrims, people that live up to the word of God and not according to the values of this culture. We thank you, Lord, for each one of us today that sit under the sound of my voice. And I'm praying that none of us will remain the same from today. We'll make up our mind and say, as for me and my house, we will save the Lord. We give you thanks and we give you praise, because we ask in Jesus' name, and somebody said, Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.